out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you, who are simple, love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding.
The second Bible reading today comes from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, commencing at verse 24 to 29. To me, this chapter, these five verses, tells us how to live our lives with our feet firmly planted on the Word of God. Makes it important. And I've got the brochure. Can I encourage you to take that home today and put it on your fridge and look at it daily? It's the house built on the rock, and that's who we are. Anyway, Matthew chapter 7, commencing at verse 24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storm rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of the teachers of the law. May God add his blessing to this reading as Andrew expands on the word of God.
Thanks, guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please give us ears to hear your word, so that we do build our lives on the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, earlier this year, a Canadian tourist had both hands bitten off while attempting to take a selfie with a shark. Last year, a man in India was killed after he climbed over a 12-foot fence at a zoo to take a selfie with a lion. And in 2020, an English tourist climbed over a fence to take a selfie in Diamond Bay Reserve, Sydney, but in the process fell to her death over a cliff. These are stories that if it was in a cartoon, it would be funny. But in real life, they are deeply tragic stories, particularly because of how avoidable these things were. Now, in our fallen world, everybody's going to face difficulties in life. Some people will go through deep hardship and sorrow. But there's also many troubles that are avoidable, if only we're willing to be wise. And that's what today's reading from the book of Proverbs is about. We read from chapter 1, verse 20 onwards, where Solomon tells a story about a woman named Wisdom. And then at the start of chapter 2, he explains the take-home message to his son. So will you look with me at Proverbs chapter 1, and verse 20. Perhaps you can imagine yourself walking down the narrow streets of an ancient, dusty city. You're pushing past people as they go about their business, and then a voice catches your attention. Out in the open, Wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. Having someone calling out in the market would have been quite normal in those days. That's how people got their news. Remember, you didn't have a daily feed on your phone or a 6 p.m. update on Channel 9, and so kings would send announcers to go around all the towns and let the people know what the king wanted them to know. It's also how God sent his news in Old Testament times. Prophets and teachers would find a busy street corner and start preaching. Perhaps what's unusual here is the fact that this is a woman calling out. In the Old Testament, there are plenty of women who play important roles in God's story, but still, I think in that time, a woman calling on a street corner would have seemed odd. She makes every attempt to be heard. Notice in verse 20, she raises her voice in the public square. And then in verse 21, she's gone up on top of the wall. And then later in the verse, she goes down to the city gate. So she's repeating her speech all over the city to make sure that everyone hears it. She doesn't want anyone to miss out on what she has to say. Now, who is this woman? Well, the passage tells us that she is Wisdom. She represents all those opportunities that we have in life to hear and to learn wisdom. She's not a literal person. This story is a parable. It's an illustration. And the point of describing wisdom as calling out on the streets is to say that the wisdom we need for life, it's not something hidden away that you have to uncover by having a miraculous dream, or it's not impossible for us to find. It's out there. We hear wise words all the time if only we would stop and listen. However, as we read on, we find out, well, that's just the problem. See, the woman's speech is a warning to people who don't seem to be listening. In verse 22, she identifies three kinds of people. First, there's the simple man. And simple is where we all start out. We're all born simple, naive, not really knowing how dangerous this world can be, not really knowing how to make smart decisions about our future. Now, of course, if simple people are willing to listen, then we can learn. But sometimes simple people actually prefer simple ways. She says, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways?" There are those who don't want to live in a complex world of consequences and just want to act as if the world is a safe and simple place. And so gaining wisdom isn't a priority. So we've got the simple man. The next one is the mocker. The mocker is always having a laugh. Maybe at this point the mocker is having a laugh about the fact that there's a woman trying to teach him about life. Now, okay, laughing is good. Humour, I mean, God knows how to laugh. The mocker's problem is that he doesn't know when to be serious. He likes to laugh at serious people. He might call them squares or boring or nerds. And I wonder if there's something within Aussie culture which actually celebrates mockers. We have this kind of ideal Aussie bloke. We used to call him the larrikin, the Aussie larrikin. Now he's called, I don't know, the man-child. And it's pretty much the job description for every FM breakfast radio announcer. Now, again, I'm all for comedy. I think comedy is probably my favourite genre of TV show. As long as we can recognise there's a difference between fiction and the real world. And in the real world, there's a time to stop the joking and snarking and be sincere. Because if you try to live your life as if the real world is just a big internet meme, then you might find that your workplace and your home life is unnecessarily difficult. Okay, so we've got the simple guy, we've got the mocker. Thirdly, in verse 22, we've got the fool. And the fool has gone a step further. The fool has actually decided, you know what, I don't want to learn wisdom. Right down at the end of the chapter, verse 32, the fool is complacent. That means, look, I'm okay, thank you very much. I don't need anyone to tell me how to live. And so the simple, the fool, the mocker, and the fool, all three had a chance to listen to Lady Wisdom and to make wise choices, but all of them have rejected her for different reasons. And it is a rejection. I mean, again, look down at verse 29. It says, since they hated knowledge. That's a pretty strong word, hated knowledge, and did not choose to fear the Lord. See, at one point, the choice was right there in front of them. Lady Wisdom made sure of that. But by doing nothing, by not choosing life, they end up in a bad way. And that's the bit we skipped over. So let's go back up to verse 24. She says, since you refuse to listen. Verse 25, since you disregard all my advice. Verse 26, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. See, Lady Wisdom in our story says, sooner or later, if you make foolish choices, they will catch up with you. I can think back to too many of my friends from my teenage years who made foolish choices about drugs, and sooner or later there were consequences, losing jobs, losing mental health. I've had dear friends who made unwise choices in relationships, and in different cases, I can think of examples of unplanned pregnancy, painful breakups, unhappy marriages. In verse 27, it talks about when calamity overtakes you like a storm. See, it sort of gives the impression that right at this moment, things are going okay. It's just that the storm is coming. And you know what? Most drug users go through an initial phase where they're quite high-functioning people, and they're thinking, yeah, I can handle this, I can make these choices and still hold my life together. Until that storm comes, and when everything falls apart, it can happen suddenly. Verse 28, when I first read that bit, it bothered me, where it says, "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me." And my first thought was, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Surely God is gracious. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. Surely it's never too late to turn to him and be forgiven. But then I realized, oh, actually, I'm not quite reading this properly. This is not God talking. This is Lady Wisdom talking. And this chapter is not first and foremost about whether people go to heaven or not. This chapter is firstly about how things are going to turn out for you in this life. And so this chapter is reminding us there are consequences in this life. I mean, we have an amazing hope as Christians. We have a hope that one day Jesus will return, that he will fix all of the mess as he brings in the new heavens and the new earth. But while we're here in this life, we usually have to live with the consequences of our decisions. As a pastor, I've had all sorts of interesting people knock on my door. I've met people just out of prison who can't get jobs or accommodation. I've met people who are just, their hearts are broken because they can't see their kids because of past domestic violence. And my heart goes out to them. I help where I can. And sometimes I wish I could just snap my fingers and make their past go away. But I can't. That's not how it works. There is no rewind button in this life. That's what verse 28 is about. Verse 31 says, we can't blame others if our choices catch up with us, because it says they will eat the fruit of their ways. And so my plea to you is, please listen to Lady Wisdom. Please take responsibility for your decisions in life. Now, I say this realizing that there might be some of you here today who are hearing all this and thinking, well, I think I'm the fool, and I've experienced the consequences. If that's you, please understand, the purpose of this passage is not to condemn you. Like, remember, this book of Proverbs is not directly addressed to you. This is a father speaking to his young son. And we're listening in on that conversation between the father and his son. And we're learning. All of us need to learn from that conversation. But for you, well, you're here today, aren't you? That tells me, if you're here today, that tells me God hasn't finished with your life yet. But pursue wisdom starting from today. Maybe one of the ways you can respond to this is actually to heartily agree with everything he's saying and to warn the young people that God puts in your life about the importance of making wise choices. Because that's what Solomon does at the start of chapter 2. He reinforces the take-home message for his son. He says, "You young man have great opportunities in front of you if," chapter 2, verse 1, "if you accept my words, if you look for insight and understanding." But verse 4, "if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure." In America, there was a millionaire named Forrest Fenn. And sometime before 2010, he hid this treasure chest filled with gold and jewels. He hid it somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, which is a very big mountain range. He hid it just for fun, and he released a poem with 9 clues about its location. Now, more than 350,000 people went looking for this treasure. 5 died in the process. So they took the search for treasure really seriously. And in 2020, it was found by an ex-journalist who then auctioned off the treasure for $1.3 million. Now, here's an interesting thing. This woman wisdom, he's crying out to us. And yet that doesn't mean we do nothing and just expect to be wise, because Proverbs chapter 2 verse 3 says we must also cry out to her. She's calling out to us, but we should respond by calling out to her. Wisdom is so important that we should go searching for it. Wisdom is what's the theme for our sermon series? Is it more precious than rubies? Like if people went searching so hard for that treasure, how much more should we be calling out and searching for wisdom? And the encouragement here is that if we seek godly wisdom, we shall find, because God is a generous giver. Chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You notice specifically where wisdom comes from? It's from his mouth. If you're serious about seeking wisdom, you'll want to be serious about learning God's word. You'll also want to be serious about prayer. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives. How does he give? He gives generously to all without finding fault. And so the word and prayer are essential in a wisdom-seeking life. Now, that doesn't mean we just close our eyes to the world around us. I mean, going back to the start of this passage, do you remember where the woman wisdom is speaking? She's not just speaking from the temple, from the religious place. She's speaking all over the city. And theologically, we've got God's special revelation. There is a special wisdom in the Bible. God's word gives a clarity of direction to our lives. But we also recognize that there's such a thing as general revelation. That is, we can observe the wisdom of God in the world that he created. And in this book, Solomon, the author, is a careful observer of this world, and he's a collector of the best wisdom from this world. And what he wants his son to see is that a God-fearing approach to life is not only obedient, it's also good common sense. In the coming weeks, we'll get to specific topics in this book. We'll see what this book says about speech and laziness and sex and marriage and family and friendship and plans. But the way it's organized is that before we get to all of those specifics, he wants us to decide if we really want to hear them. In one sense, he's only pointing out the obvious. He's saying don't make foolish choices. But as humans, we seem to need the obvious. Because why does someone throw away their marriage for the sake of one night of passion? That doesn't make sense. And yet it happens all the time. Why do people drive at 180 kilometres an hour on the motorway risk losing their life, risk killing someone, just for a 2-minute adrenaline rush. It doesn't make sense, and yet it happens all the time. In many cases, it comes down to this. People don't see the wise life as actually the best life. People don't see God's wisdom as good and desirable. And so we live in a country where so many people are destroying their lives in search of this fleeting yet foolish experience. I once went for a walk with a drug addict, and his habit was tearing his family apart. And at one point I said to him, "Mate, whose way do you want to live? Why don't you want to live God's way?" And he actually said to me, "I prefer the devil. He gives me what I want." See, the sad thing is that he couldn't see the generous goodness of God. And so he didn't trust the wisdom that comes from God. And so as I wrap up, let's just stop and think about where the good and generous wisdom of God will ultimately lead us. Because, okay, here in Proverbs, this woman wisdom, she's an imaginary woman. She's a figure of poetry. No one ever saw her literally. But there was a time when the true wisdom of God made an appearance on earth, when he literally cried out in the streets. Did you notice in our New Testament reading, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, so this is at the end of the famous Sermon on the Mount, and he presents himself as a teacher of wisdom. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Do you remember in Proverbs, in our reading from Proverbs, calamity overtakes the fool, how? Like a storm. Whereas Jesus says, the man who listens to me has a house that weathers the storm. Of course, Jesus is talking about more than just this life. Because the ultimate wisdom of God is seen in the way that for us and for our salvation, Jesus entered this world, took on human nature, and then gave himself for us at the cross. So that when he was raised from the dead 3 days later, through that we inherit a hope that goes beyond the grave. In Christ, we do have the hope of a resurrection life. We have a hope of a completely new beginning where all the tears are wiped away and where the consequences of our foolishness in this life will be replaced by the consequences of Christ's wisdom when he walked this earth. Friends, Jesus is calling out to you today. And he invites you to call out to him in response. If he so loves you that he was willing to give up his life, then surely his wisdom is going to be good for you. Surely there's not going to be anything better than building your life on his teaching. Surely there will be nothing more worthwhile than seeking his kingdom as you would seek for buried treasure. Because following him doesn't mean everything's going to be easy, but you will be spared from many kinds of unnecessary grief in this life. And you will gain a hope that goes beyond this life. So choose life. Stick with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your wisdom is good. We thank you that you're a generous giver, and we come to you confessing that so often we lack wisdom. And so please give us from your generous, from your treasures, give to us generously your wisdom so that we may live lives joyfully trusting you and blessing others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.